1-800-875-1944.
Delaney here as your captain of the ship called America tonight, and we are racing to get through some rough waters. Gay rights advocates march during the day on the Capitol demanding that Obama make some changes when it comes to gay rights, including gay marriage and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Now, Don't Ask, Don't Tell is a layup for the president because he's promised to do something there. If you remember, Obama was very clear he's not for, quotes, gay marriage, but for civil unions, and he pushes the civil unions thing. This happening, particularly with the military thing, when we're talking about Afghanistan and we're talking about whether or not General McChrystal is going to get the 40,000 troops that he says he desperately needs to help the guys that are there, the women that are there, and to have a chance of winning this war. Saw an interesting thing with Senator John McCain where he said any added military deployment in Afghanistan smaller than 40,000 that's been requested by McChrystal, because he's worried, I think, that the president is going to try to cut the difference to satisfy everybody, because there's people who don't want to see any troops, period, and meaning Congress, and split the difference and half that number, not make it 40. He says, if you don't send the 40 troops requested by McChrystal, it would be an error of historic proportions. Historic. That it is a terrible idea to do this half measure, try to please everybody on the political spectrum. And I agree, but that's part of the problem with the administration. They're trying to please too many masters instead of doing what you do. You're elected president, do what you do, and you have your own rough waters to navigate, but that's the gig, right? So a couple of things, including, like I said, the big one. Would we see a repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell? Because now there is massive pressure to make something happen, and the clock is ticking on the legislative session leading up to the holidays when there will be a ton of days off. You're talking about health care reform, this Afghanistan thing, and a bunch of other things that have to be determined before any other kind of a break. And now this, the push for the military side of it, and it's very significant, obviously, as to those who serve. I'm going to let you hear this comment. This is one of the things that Obama said when he spoke about gay rights and what he intended to do. So take a listen to this.
So I know you want me working on jobs and the economy and all the other issues that we're dealing with, but my commitment to you is unwavering even as we wrestle with these enormous problems. And while progress may be taking longer than you'd like as a result of all that we face, and that's the truth, do not doubt the direction we are heading and the destination we will reach. My expectation is that when you look back on these years, you will see a time in which we put a stop to discrimination against gays and lesbians, whether in the office or on the battlefield. You will see a time in which we as a nation finally recognize relationships between two men or two women as just as real and admirable as relationships between a man and a woman.
All right, let's get Michael in Kentucky's take on all of this. Hey, Michael.
Hey, sorry about that earlier. I'm on a cell phone driving through Kentucky, so.
I understand.
What I was talking about earlier was perspective. You have women on ships in the Navy that are sleeping with the majority of the ship, and the difference between the gays on the ship and the straight people on the ship is that the girls openly do this, and everyone knows this is happening. Whereas the gays are much more discreet, and there are very few people on the ship that actually know it's even taking place. And I think the issue comes with you have all these things tied together, and you're so concerned with homosexuality in the military that all the other issues with the military are completely forgotten. And I just wanted to call in and sort of give that kind of a perspective, because not many people think of that, because you're drawing a line between what women do in the military and what gays do in the military, and you're considering them completely separate. However, I would think they would be almost similar, because what's the difference between a girl going around and sleeping with guys and a guy going around and sleeping with guys? I mean, you still have people doing things that you probably shouldn't be doing while you're on mission.
Right.
But yet, a female, if she does it, it's okay, whereas if a guy does it, it's not okay.
Right, which you can attest to this. I've had many friends, Michael, like you, that have served in the Navy. One in particular who was on an aircraft carrier who told me the same thing, that if you had a woman, the promiscuity was unbelievable. And that there was even a signal, like a broom handle left up outside of a door or whatever, and that it was very, very, very prevalent. And that what happened sometimes is jealousies would erupt because, of course, certain people were getting sex and they had been out to sea for a very long time or just even on a base or wherever, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I can see that. So that's what you're saying. Well, listen, if there's going to be this sexual tension, then it's just as much between the women and the men, and it obviously causes problems.
Right.
So can you imagine if they did an abstinence policy, though?
Well, you can try it, but, you know, the one thing I've learned about the military is you can try and tell them what to do about that, but they're going to find ways around it, if they can. So you can try and regulate things, but things will still happen. Like the guy said, the code reds are not allowed, but they still happen. I mean, you can say gays aren't allowed in the military, but they're still there. They still find ways to do things. You can say you're not allowed to have sex, on a ship, but people will still find a way to do it. So it's kind of a moot point.
Right.
To really, really try and regulate it, because it's not going to matter either way.
But here's the problem. The problem is you've had a lot of people who have lost their jobs in the military because they were outed as being gay. So
right.
That's what started the whole don't ask, don't tell. But it's a flawed idea, like you say, in itself, that because what happens is somebody goes off base or is on base and they're living their life. What if they have a partner? What if people pretend that they don't know that that person is gay? Of course. And that's what's happened to so many, some of them decorated people in the Army and in the Navy, et cetera, and, all different levels. There's no question. So that's why there are a lot of people that are saying, look, this is ridiculous. If I'm gay, I'm gay. If I'm straight, I'm straight. But it has to be repealed so we can just live our lives. But I think you're right. Even the bigger issue becomes, wow, there's so many other things. If you peel back the Pandora's box and you lift it off the lid, you'd be surprised at some of the things you have no idea about. It's a whole different world when we're talking about the military, right?
Right.
Yeah, it is. It's a different world, no question. Michael, thanks for the call back. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
800-259-5791. If you want to react, you can certainly do that. Also coming up, Senator Dianne Feinstein talking about McChrystal. She approves the 40,000 troops. And what about Senator Chambliss, his comments on Afghanistan? They were part of the Sunday Swirl. They were on one of the Sunday morning shows, and we'll let you know what they had to say, as this is a big burning issue on the Hill right now. Stay with us.
Say no to government vaccinations.
Say no to toxic overload.
Say no to chemicals.
Say yes to liquid zeolite. When you have fatigue, problems concentrating, muscle weakness, headaches, digestion, memory loss, influenza, or joint pain,
the solution may be as simple as detoxifying your body.
Chemical-free liquid zeolite helps the body heal itself so that it can become stronger to fight off viruses.
Why risk government vaccinations?
Liquid zeolite detoxifies the body by safely helping remove toxins and heavy metals, boosting energy levels, and promoting a strong immune system. Liquid Zeolite is tasteless, odorless, and so gentle you won't even know you're taking it.
Feel great again in as little as 3 days to 3 weeks.
Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but it's only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 1-800-976-0025. 1-800-976-0025. 100% natural, 100% safe,
100% amazing.
Try Liquid Zeolite today.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2233 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
For years, doctors and researchers have known that one of the major pathways to better health is an alkaline diet rich in minerals and antioxidants to keep the body in proper pH balance. For 15 years, people have trusted AlkaZone, the simplest way of keeping the body in pH balance, getting rid of acidic waste buildup, and boosting the immune system through antioxidant support. AlkaZone's unique formula contains potassium, magnesium, calcium, zinc, and the antioxidant selenium, along with 79 trace minerals from ancient marine deposits. Unlike other products, AlkaZone is odorless and tasteless and can be added to any beverage to offset its acidity. AlkaZone also manufactures antioxidant water fountains that will both filter and raise the pH of the tap water in your home to a pH of 10. To learn more and to place your order for a 45-day supply for only $25, visit AlkaZone.com. That's A-L-K-A-Zone.com. Use coupon code RADIO and receive a limited-time discount. Call AlkaZone today at 1-800-810-1888. That's 1-800-810-1888.
Much that Obama doesn't understand the language of war by letting this go on and on, this being the request for more troops and trying to please too many masters, those that don't want more troops and those that do, and playing the political game. Al is listening to us in Canada. Let's shoot right across the border. Hey, Al.
Yeah, hi, Kate. You know, can I make a comment about gays in the military?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. There are gays in the NFL, the National Football League. Imagine there's some homosexual players in the NFL, right?
Uh-huh.
And if I owned a team, say I owned the New York Jets or whatever, and my best player was a gay guy, and I didn't know it, and then I found out he was a gay guy, I would be a complete idiot to fire him, wouldn't I?
Oh, absolutely. If he was your best player, absolutely.
You know, as long as the gay people don't have AIDS, And they meet all the other requirements. If I were a person who hated gays, if I were a gay basher or a homophobe,
right,
or whatever you want, I would want nothing but gays in the military. The next war that the U.S. gets involved in, I would want only gays on the front lines, only gays in combat. And then, according to this, twisted mind of a gay basher, we'd get rid of them. You know,
because they'd be killed. Yeah.
Yeah. These people are crazy. You know, and you know that don't ask, don't tell policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's the policy of the Nobel Committee. You know, what did Obama do to deserve the Nobel Prize? Don't ask and we won't tell.
Ba-da-bump, that is pretty good, Al.
Thanks, Kate. Bye.
Thank you. All right, so Al's saying he's trying to make the point, although stretching a sports analogy for the war analogy doesn't really work because there is, of course, even in sports, it's hush-hush, even if somebody's gay. I mean, there's people that I can tell you that I know that are gay that are playing in the NFL because I covered the NFL, so I know from things people told me off the record, not because they were outing somebody, but just because something came up and it sort of slipped out. But, you know, here's the thing. It's different when you're talking about a sports team versus what you're talking about in the military, especially we keep going back to the front lines. Maybe different in a base, different if you're at a desk job somewhere, even though you might have an important desk job, perhaps a little bit different if you're, like, working at the Pentagon. I don't know. That is different than being in the thick of it for 17 months in Afghanistan or Iraq. I think the biggest problem and the one that we pretty much with all the different opinions, the overwhelming opinions we've gotten on this show, the biggest problem is the acceptance, the reality of it. Not the, okay, well, we'll just repeal this. We'll repeal this so anybody who's gay, they, you know, they might be under the wire, under the radar, whatever, and they have a serious relationship back home, so nobody really, they might suspect it, but they don't say anything, there's no problem, whatever. So it's okay. So once we go back home, they can just be who they are and take their boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever to the military, you know, cotillion. They can go and have dinner and be around other people in the military that they work with, and nobody's going to bat an eye. Because that's what happened with some people. That's how they were uncovered, basically. But I would fear for the person, because I would fear for the attitudes, the culture. You and I all know that. There's different cultures. You can say one thing, you can have a rule, but people break the rule because of their own prejudices, whatever they are. And if you have enough people that feel a certain way, it could lead to big problems, I think, for somebody who is an open homosexual. Maybe not. It depends on the unit you're with, depends on what type of job, like I said, that you're doing, what branch of the military, all that sort of stuff would come into play. And then there's probably plenty of people in the military that would say, who cares? I don't care. The guy has my back. I don't care what he is. He's not coming near me. He's not looking at me that way. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. But that's not going to be the prevalent attitude across the board. It would depend on the unit. And all of you have called in know what I'm talking about who have served. I've had enough friends who have served in all the branches, really. I've had friends in every single branch now that I think about it, and from every kind of job, from officer to pilot to, you know, top gun pilot to somebody serving on the front lines. And I think they would all tell me and have had conversations with me about all kinds of aspects of the military that a lot of people don't realize. You know, that's the thing. You're in your own little bubble, your own little world, especially when you're at war. You can throw out a lot of things when you're at war. You're in the thick of it. You're getting fired upon. You don't know if you're going to get killed in a roadside bomb. You don't know if you're trying to win over a village if the villagers have flipped on you and everybody's going to emerge suddenly and you're going to be in the middle of a hailstorm of machine gun bullets coming at you, raining upon you. All those kind of things play into it. That's why it's so hard, I think, with the in some ways, in another sense, the military can be really handcuffed on what they can do now, we certainly know, in war zones. And sadly, we saw what happened to the 8 guys in the ambush. So, you know, are you excluding good people with the policy? Are you risking, depending on what particular unit it is, somebody getting in and getting hazed, like the code reds that, oh, that's illegal, it doesn't exist, but, you know, it really does exist? All, I think, fair questions. And speaking of war, here's what Senator Feinstein had to say about backing up McChrystal, because she thinks that he should get his request. Here's what she said.
Well, what he revealed was his thinking up to this point. And that the fact that he wanted to hear from various members, and some of us spoke up. And I'll tell you what I said. I reviewed all of the intelligence and looked at the situation, and it was pretty clear to me that violence was up 100%, 950 attacks in August. The Taliban now controls 37% of the people in the areas where these people are. Attrition in police is running 67%, either killed or leaving the service. And the mission is in serious jeopardy. I think General McChrystal, who is one of our very best, if not the best at this, has said a counterterrorism strategy will not work. The president said to us very clearly, just as you said, George, we will not pull out. Now, if you're going to stay, you have to have a way of winning. The question is, what is that way? And I think the counterinsurgency strategy, which means protecting the people, not shooting from afar, but securing, taking, holding, and providing security for a period of time is really critical.
All right, so you heard what Feinstein had to say in reviewing, as she said, the intelligence and mentioning the violence and the 950 attacks and what the Taliban was controlling. I thought it was interesting. I wonder how many people share the view. Here's Senator Chambliss's take on all the way around looking at Afghanistan.
You should approve General McChrystal's request now.
I don't think there's any question where he's going to have to. And I think it's the right thing to do. He sent General McChrystal over there in the spring and said, you go see what it's like on the ground. Give me a report and let's devise a strategy for going forward. He's done that, and Diane's exactly right. It's a very fractious government over there. It's a lot of corruption within the Karzai government and not much stability. But if we're going to move forward, we've got to do two things. First of all, we've got to think about the civilian side and what we're going to do with that government from the standpoint of trying to help the Afghan people clean it up. If in order to be successful at doing that, then we've got to quell the violence. We've got to slow down the Taliban. That means prevailing militarily, and obviously that's where the additional resources in the form of troops come in. That's what General McChrystal has recommended, and I think the president has got to follow his commanders on the ground. The situation in Iraq that Jack was very much involved in was not unlike where we are right now.
All right, so where are we at right now? At this point, Obama and his team is trying to, they're trying to hash out this new plan for Afghanistan. And he's got the troop request. So the question becomes now what? Obama has a series of meetings this week with what they're calling the War Council. He did last week. And we saw what happened, sadly, at that remote U.S. outpost in Afghanistan. Hundreds of insurgents led to the deaths that attack led to the deaths of the eight Americans during that one incident. And so thus the ongoing debate about how many troops are necessary to accomplish the goal of winning, I guess, the U.S. winning in this country. Is it winnable? Alexander the Great, as we have talked about on the show, couldn't do it. Neither could the Russians. You think of the terrain and whatnot. You think of the Americans who have shed their blood for this. 800-259-5791. More also on Obama winning the Nobel Prize. Stay with us.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results with your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS, you can't make the problem go away without professional help. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax debt problems for 30 years, and I can help you too. We can stabilize IRS collection action and get your tax debt reduced, sometimes completely eliminated. And if you received a 1099 from a bank because of mortgage or other debt forgiveness, the vast majority of the time, I can show you how to completely erase it so you pay no taxes on what the IRS will consider to be taxable income. Call us for a free consultation to discuss the many possibilities. Call 1-800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-N-O-T-A-X. Or go to my website at taxhelponline.com.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you. Call us today, 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Toxins are in our foods, and chemicals are in our air. Chemicals are in our water supply. We purify our air, and we purify our water, and yet we forget to purify our bodies. Funny, our bodies continue to absorb these deadly toxins and chemicals every day. Isn't it time to make a change? Maybe a life change? Get rid of toxins and chemicals. GetTheTea.com. Log on to GetTheTea.com and order your protection today. Our testimonies tell the truth. GetTheTea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Cleanse from toxins and chemicals, lose some weight, and get free from unhealthy living. Order today at GetTheTea.com.
Obama getting the Nobel Peace Prize. I love that the committee has to come out and issue a statement. I mean, how many times have they had to do that? A couple of times, because there has been some controversy in the past. But it seems like this was pretty explosive, the choice of Obama. And so once again, what is it? Is it because, as the committee seemed to say, that he gets the prize because he is about hope, equality, peace, and progress? That's what Obama is about, and that's why we think he deserves to get the prize. So obviously he is admired and respected in various corners of the world, but it's just the definition to me, the Peace Prize. Wow. Too soon, too much. I think they went goofy. I think the committee must have been off their rocker when they made this choice. So could he have not accepted it? I mean, I don't think he could have, because then he would have seemed ungracious and it opens up a whole can of worms in another direction. But actually, this committee, I think, has caused more problems, more harm for Obama than good. And, you know, everybody, if you're a comedian, this is like another field day thing with this Obama thing. And Obama did say, to be honest, he said he didn't feel that he deserved to be in the company of so many of the transformative figures who have been honored by the prize, men and women who have inspired himself and others in the world through their courageous pursuit of peace. And that's exactly what I would say. It's it just goes back to the strangeness of the Obama lore, by some completely revered for doing very little in the beginning stages of a presidency. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh went nuts about this, I guess, on his show on Friday. He said he's basically emasculating this country and they love it. And, of course, the GOP, this is, again, red meat, there's no question. And the Democrats defending the idea that, hey, this is the peace guy. He's different from the last administration. And there are a lot of people that want to see peace across the world, and that's what Obama brings. He's different than his predecessor. But it's just like a giant rally for Obama. And it's, and this is a prize, obviously, that I think will do more damage to him politically, honestly, by reinforcing that he is a world icon rather than a president of the United States who's going to be successful. And so do we want that kind of president? And the answer is, boy, I don't think Obama wants that. I mean, the last thing he needs, I think, is the Nobel Peace Prize, but he got it. So a lot of water cooler buzz on this. You can go to americatonight.net. I wrote some of my thoughts on this. And you can throw in your two cents at americatonight.net. As I said, you know, everybody seemed to have an opinion on this, including George Will and Donna Brazile. Here's what they said. They were on ABC with George Stephanopoulos. This was their take on the Nobel.
Well, the Nobel Prize Committee would, with this decision, have forfeited its reputation for seriousness if it had a reputation for seriousness. The president has a problem in Afghanistan. He has a real problem in Scandinavia. First Copenhagen, then Oslo. The award set off a global cry of two words. For what? Well, the committee answered that. They said after 263 days of his presidency, but really after 11 days, because it was February 1st that the nomination list closed, he was honored for values and attitudes. Notice the word attitudes. Values and attitudes shared by a majority of the world's population. This is an award for attitudinizing.
It is well deserved, because after 11 days, oh, come on, George, I am a forward-looking, optimistic person. And the president has, in my judgment, it is not only well deserved, but he must also earn it. George, in 11 days, President Obama overturned many of the policies that much of the world disliked. He ended banned torture. He proposed closing out Gitmo Bay. It's a proposal, and he has to work with members of Congress and states to get it finally closed. He closed secret prisons, CIA prisons across the globe, and he reversed the global gag rule.
All right, so you heard what Donna said, and Donna Brazile said, and obviously George Will with two different opinions. And that's pretty much the way it goes. It's really two for one, or the reverse across the country, I think, with many of you listening and obviously with many of the pundits reacting. So it is a perfect Saturday Night Live moment. Here's how they open, and I happen to be watching it live. Here's how they open Saturday Night Live relating to a sketch on President Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize.
Good evening, my fellow Americans. As most of you are probably aware, yesterday the news came that I had been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. This came without warning. I didn't even get a call, as due to the time difference in Norway, the Nobel people didn't want to wake me up. I wish they had. I could have said to Hillary Clinton, "Hey, remember that 3 a.m. call you were so worried about?" It happened. Nobel Peace Prize. Now, This prize, bestowed by the Nobel Committee in Norway, is given annually to individuals who have made significant contributions to world peace. Jimmy Carter won it for decades of trying to find solutions to international conflicts. Al Gore won it for his years of educating U.S. about climate change. And us, well, I won it for not being George Bush. To be perfectly honest, this award was a complete surprise, as I have only not been George W. Bush for 9 months. But I am deeply honored nonetheless. And that's not all I have to be grateful for. Just moments ago, I was informed, and I almost hesitate to say this, that I won the $70 million jackpot in the Powerball lottery. The funny thing is, it's the first Powerball ticket I have ever bought. It's true. I was driving Sasha and Malia home from school, and we stopped at a 7-Eleven for sodas. We all chose two numbers, and there you have it. $70 million. Alice, can we bring in that check? Look at that. Alice here plays the Powerball every week, so I thought she'd like to hold the check. Of course, I won't be keeping the money. As with my Nobel Prize money, I will be donating it to charity. But first, I have an important decision to make. Do I take the money as a one-time lump sum payout or as an annuity over the next 30 years? It's a tough decision, so I intend to do what I always do and meet with my financial team. Tim Geithner, Ben Bernanke, Larry Summers. Then whatever they advise, I'll do. Because those guys do not make mistakes. And I'm sure Michelle will have some ideas, too. Thank you very much, and live from New York, it's Saturday night.
All right, so I thought actually that was a pretty clever skit, and you heard they're making fun of, obviously, then he wins the lottery, et cetera, because that was the reaction, the shock of so many, including in Oslo when they announced it. You heard the gasps. I saw this thing in Time magazine that I thought sums it up pretty good, and here's one of the paragraphs I read. I scribbled down what I had read the other day. And what they said was, maybe the prize will give him more power, new muscle, to haul unruly nations in line. But peacemaking is more about ingenuity than inspiration, about reading other nations' selfish interests and cynically, strategically exploiting them for the common good. Will it help if fewer countries come to the table hating us? To a point, but it's a starting point, not an end in itself. At this moment, many Americans are longing for a president who is more bully, less pulpit, the president who leashed his immense inaugural goodwill to the hungry appropriators writing the stimulus bill, who has not stopped negotiating health care reform except to say what is non-negotiable, who's doing the best he can for the wheelers and dealers who drove the financial system into a ditch, leaving the rest of us wondering who has our back. So he's talking about, and he's actually praising Obama, but saying that there's great promise and all of that, but that's exactly what it is. So does it really provide anything in the end, and what is peacemaking, etc.? The committee itself, as I said, felt as though they had to explain why they chose Obama. I mean, and that's exactly what's happened. What they've said is his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples. That is what it came down to and the reason why he got the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-mm-mm. All right, too much too soon. That's exactly what I think. You might think differently, and you can flip me an email on that, americatonight.net. Coming up on the flip side, we're going to look at what happened in the NFL, including did anybody nail the score next.
If you're looking for a company that will meet and exceed your water purification needs, you need to visit purewaterfreedom.com. If you're concerned about contaminants in your water, such as fluoride, chlorine, pharmaceutical drugs, arsenic, and even iron or rust, PureWaterFreedom.com has a water purification system perfect for your home or office. PureWaterFreedom.com carries state-of-the-art water filters for every application, including countertop, undersink, shower and bath, whole house, ultraviolet sterilizers, fluoride filters, and reverse osmosis systems that remove fluoride and pharmaceutical drugs, and much more. Installation takes moments, so you'll be enjoying crisp, clean, satisfying water in no time. Not sure which water purification system will work best for you? Log on or call today to speak with a water purification specialist. Call 1-866-757-7644. That's 1-866-757-7644. Or visit PureWaterFreedom.com. PureWaterFreedom.com, the best filtered water in the world.
Attention landscapers, house painters, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, gutter cleaners, and anyone who has their own home service business. Would you love to build a huge and loyal customer base fast? Well, now you can. Introducing the Magic Yellow Flyer. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. Get new customers and build a solid customer base. Throw away all of the other ineffective and expensive advertising methods. You need the Magic Yellow Flyer. Corporate America is destroying our country, and it's time to rebuild the backbone of America. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Don't have a home business? The Magic Yellow Flyer comes with 15 hot home businesses that you can start at a minimum cost. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com. That's MagicYellowFlyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit MagicYellowFlyer.com.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
No signal yet. Texans are saying touchdown, and the officials are saying Cardinal ball.
No way.
They stop him on fourth down. No. The room was three receivers, two left, one right. Chalk. Five steps, straight drop. Fire. Right side. Picked off. Rodgers come out. He got it at the 40. Goodbye. 10-5. Touchdown. Cardinals retake the lead.
That young gun.
Cardinals stop them, they get the win. Texans score, we might be headed for overtime. Same formation, three tight ends. Chris Brown in the tail of an eye. Schaub takes, handoff Slayton up the middle, dives, I don't think he got it. No signal yet. Texans are saying touchdown, and the officials are saying Cardinal ball.
No way.
They stop them on fourth down. First and 10, 27 seconds to play. They're at the 20-yard line. Palmer to throw. He throws
it. Yeah! The field, Caldwell, yeah! Touchdown! Yeah! Andre Caldwell, middle of the field, wide open. Carson Palmer drilled it, and the Bengals have the lead with 22 seconds to play.
Second and 15 at the Dallas 40. They're still not in terrible shape. Romo with the gun. Back, set, stands. Throws it right. Ooh, dangerous throw. Austin broke away. 50, 40. Austin to the 30. Austin to the 10. Austin made the play. Austin saved the day. The Cowboys win in overtime as Miles Austin turns a little safety valve into a 60-yard touchdown.
Completely black. I am.
hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote.
Wow, some incredible finishes. Week 5 in the NFL. You heard the Cards there beating the Texans 28-21. The Bengals knocking off the Ravens 17-14. And in overtime, shame on the Cowboys that they couldn't beat the Chiefs on a regular clock, but they're lucky they did. So they're 3-2 now. The Chiefs are 0-5. 26-20 was the final score in that one. Hey, the Giants are 5-0. They blew out the Raiders. Not a surprise, but the score 44-7. Wow. 44-7. Incredible. Interesting week in the NFL. Now, my Eagles beat the Buccaneers 33-14. Donovan McNabb looked terrific. 264 yards, 3 touchdowns in his efforts. But, hey, the Buccaneers have been everybody's punching bag. They're 0-5. They look terrible. They've looked terrible against every single opponent they have played. The Vikings continue to roll. They're 5-0, but they should have. They played the lowly Rams. The Rams can't buy a win. The final score in that one was 38-10. And, of course, our game of the week was the Denver game. Did anybody see that? The Broncos beat the Patriots mile high 20-17. So the Broncos are 5-0, the Patriots 3-2. Kyle Orton was 35 of 48 for 330 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Wow. And we did not have anybody nail the score for the record. I said Denver was going to win 27-22. There were people that came kind of close. Most people picked the Patriots, like Matt Johnson, the technical maestro of the show. He said 20-17 Patriots. We had some Denver picks. John in Kentucky, 28-21. We also had Bill in Kentucky, who said the Broncos 31-21. So there were several people that went that way. Edna in Kansas said 22-17. 22-17. She liked the Broncos. How about that? Very, very close. But close does not count. That's the thing. You have to nail the score. That's the idea. So some close, especially Edna, good for you, coming really close, but nobody nailed it. How about that finish in week 5, and especially the games that you played there? Great job on those highlights. Just, it was an incredibly wild week, wasn't it, Matt?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of, I don't know, photo finishes, pretty
yes.
much. Just games and going into overtime, back and forth in the last minutes of the fourth quarter.
Yes.
But then it was, you know, a bunch of blowouts as well. So you had four or five really tight games, and then, well, 3 or 4 just complete blowouts.
Wow. Look at the Seahawks. They just gave a bagel to the Jags. No score. 41-0. They couldn't put up any points on the board. That is crazy. And it was in Seattle. So I bet you half the people were running for their cars because, hey, they were blowing them out. After even halfway, they were blowing them out. But then after the third quarter, they put up another 14 points. I mean, it was a laugher. There's no question. And I told you about the one, obviously, the Giants. How about the Falcons over the 49ers, 45-10? So you're right, there were other blowouts. The Colts, 31-9 over the Titans. It was just a crazy week.
Yeah, and, I mean, the 49ers, they're supposed to be, you know, the up-and-coming team. They
yeah.
gave Minnesota one heck of a battle, and they just got done by Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't believe that. And my Vikings rolled on. We even scored a touchdown with our B-squad in the final minutes of the fourth quarter. So I'm feeling pretty good.
I like that. The Vikings. It's like you play for them. I want you to get somehow.
I suit up. You don't know this. I suit up.
I want you to get on that bench.
Show. Just for this show, I fly back.
Because you are determined you are going to be here. I understand.
Ziggy Wilf has a private plane with my name on it.
And the Monday night game is going to be the Jets and the Dolphins. And, of course, that's in Miami at Landshark Stadium. And the Dolphins, it's always a good rivalry between these two teams, and the Dolphins desperately need a win. They're 1-3. The Jets are 3-1 with Sanchez, and what happens with Pennington. That should be an interesting matchup. Hopefully it's going to be another one of those tight games, and we're going to see completely a good week across the board in football. I think we will see a pretty good game there.
Yeah, definitely. You know, Chad Henne is going for Miami. They're seeing if they have the quarterback of the future on hand, and then you got the other rookie. Well, he's, I guess Henne's not a rookie, it's his second year, but the rookie in Sanchez going for the Jets. So it should be a pretty good matchup. And you already have Channing Crowder and some other people going at it with Rex Ryan, the head coach. So get the trash talking going on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of, there's a couple of other things happening. Obviously, sorry that the Yankees swept your Twins. So that series is over, but we knew heading into that.
That was,
I do. We knew that was going to be tough, obviously, because the Yankees, I mean, they were rolling. Not the first game. The first game was good.
In the second game.
Yeah.
It didn't help that the umpire missed that fair ball by about 10 feet.
Yeah, so there were some bogus calls you could point to, but I
always are. But we in the end, though, we had the bases loaded, nobody out, and still couldn't get a run. So it's our fault.
It is your fault because you also play for the Twins.
See? You're catching on.
In the meantime, my Philadelphia Phillies, they just beat, wrapped up a short while ago, the Colorado Rockies. 6-5 was the final score in that one. They lead that series 2-1. The two teams will meet at 6:05 tomorrow, and you know we'll see if this heads to yet another game or what happens. And it was a nail biter again, down to the end, as Brad Lidge stranded runners at first base and first and second base, and it was very, very cold, obviously, but he preserved the win, thank goodness. And we'll see what happens in the next game, because the Phillies, of course, are the defending world champs. Also, I guess this would kind of be like the daily salute for people who are into golf or just into the fact that the U.S. represented in this one, Tiger Woods, I mean, he is all world. We already know that. But the Americans won the President's Cup. I saw a little bit of this, and he was key again. I mean, he was the guy who clinched it. He was key all week long, so the Americans easily wrap up the cup, and they're unbeaten at home. This was taking place in San Francisco, and again, he made just terrific shots. His 6-5 win over South Korean Y.E. Yang might have been, as some said, a little bit of revenge for Woods blowing that final round lead in the PGA Championship this summer. Of course, remember that. So, President's Cup, big decisive point. And, you know, Phil Mickelson wraps up one with a 7-foot birdie putt for a 2-1 win over the South African, who I like, Retief Goosen. So, Lefty is unbeaten in the President's Cup for the second time in the last three contests. Fred Couples, the president, couldn't be happier. A win for the United States. The United States, by the way, is 6 wins, a loss, and 1 draw since the President's Cup started back in 1994. But as I mentioned, on our turf, 5-0 on home soil. The previous 4 wins coming across the country in Virginia. So congratulations to America's team for the President's Cup, but man, fully stocked and loaded. Shoot me an email if you have any suggestions, by the way, on Daily Salute. Somebody doing something great in your hometown, you can do that at americatonight.net.